Your name?
John T. Bugg, B-U-G-G.
Your profession?
I'm a professional taxicab driver in Washington, D.C.
For how long?
Since 1957.
Have you had experiences bumping into hack inspectors?
Oh, yes. I've had experiences bumping into hack inspectors, and they have violated not only my civil rights, but every driver's civil rights they come in contact with, because they don't have the arrest powers. And these people come in and they want to look through your financial records, which is better known as a manifest. They want to have you to get out your car, let your hood up, so they're going to inspect to see whether or not you got some oil on your under the hood, and then they want you to open your trunk to make sure you ain't got no... I mean, this is just ridiculous stuff that they be doing. And all of this is violating my civil rights, and I'm sick and tired of it.
I should have began with this question. What is a hack inspector?
Well, now, a hack inspector is supposed to be not a law enforcement officer as such. They're supposed to carry out the mandates of that taxicab commission, in as much as anytime the commission say like, for instance, you been out here and you've been driving up and down the street, you've been spotted driving up and down the street, you don't have any insurance. And the people from the insurance company had called the hack office, and the hack office sent a man out in the street to get you. But before he can do anything to you or even talk to you, he got to get the Metropolitan Police to back him up, because they have the authority. They have the arrest powers. These people do not have no arrest powers, and I can't stress that enough. This hack inspector is supposed to just look around and see things. Like, for instance, if they see you out here and you got your car was in an accident and you haven't fixed it or something like that, then they call the police and say, hey, look, we got to get this car off the street, or something of that sort. But they have very limited functions. And right now what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that these people are law enforcement officers, which they're not. You know, so they just have limited authority. I mean, you know, as far as saying you're going to stop a taxi cab, they've gone as far as put cruising lights on top of the cars that they, that these people be driving, these hack inspectors drive, which that is far as I never seen or heard nobody to tell or show me where these people have the authority to pull a car over. I don't care whether it's a cab or what, you know, and to write a ticket. I think they still need, no, I don't think, I know, they still need the Metropolitan Police Department to assist them in writing tickets. They can't just come up on you and tell you, give me your driver's license, give me this, give me that, because they don't have the authority. It's a big mess. It's just a big mess, you know. And you could sit down and you can talk about that for years, and it all goes right back to the same thing. These people are violating the taxicab drivers' civil rights And they are, and far as I'm concerned, you violate my civil rights. I do have the right to get the proper authorities, you know. And at this point, I think we're going to have to take some action of our own, you know. I mean, we can't just let these people do us like that, because so I understand they've taken two or three people off the street for not obeying the hack inspector. You know, even if you talk about the Metropolitan Police Department, we're not talking about obeying nobody. We're talking about abiding by the law. Is that, I think that's the proper way to put it. So they're just a distraction from this industry, man.
Two questions for you, John Bug. One is, personally, what do you do when a hack inspector has his lights on behind you and is pulling you over? And then secondly, collectively, what do taxi cab drivers need to do to address this problem?
Well, I see him behind me. First of all, if I hadn't noticed the hack inspector, I'm not going to stop. Now, if this guy, so I understand, they sometimes speed up and cut the cab drivers off. Now, the minute they cut me, I'm going to let my window up and I'm going to call the Metropolitan Police Department, because they don't have a right to do this to me. And this is the only thing I can tell any taxi driver. You're going to have to keep on telling any and everybody that try to violate your rights that you're not going for it, and call the police. You know, this is what I'm telling everybody. You know, they do not have authority to put no lights on and pull you over. These people don't have no traffic authority. They're supposed to be with the DC Taxi Cab Commission, and they don't have the authority to pull no cars over or go through their personal effects. So that's basically the whole thing. And see, you can't just talk about the hack inspector. We got to start talking about the district government and how they're allowing things to take place in this industry, and how they're allowing these so-called hack inspectors to run roughshod over the drivers. Most of these drivers are foreigners. And most of these brothers and sisters out there is afraid of these people. Because I don't know whether you can imagine you being about 3,000-4,000 miles from home, and this is the only way you got to feed you and your family. And here we turn around and I just walk up one day and say, I'm going to take your license. I'm going to take your way of making a living. And, you know, so these guys are petrified. They're not lawbreakers, most of them. We got lawbreakers with the American drivers. We got lawbreakers with the foreign drivers. But the main thing here is, this country do not believe in mass punishment. And if this brother here break the law, you go after him. You leave me alone. You know, and these are the things that the district government is going to have to address. And we're getting a meeting with Mayor Gray to try and get him to address our problems, because we got massive problems, man. You know, this thing done gone so far now where you don't even want to leave your house, man. You know, I mean, and all of this is all about trying to take this business away from us and give it to the corporations. Now, I mean, you can do it. You know, I mean, people have just ran over people like that, but I'm looking at the fact that the free enterprise system gives me the right. If I got a dollar, I can go and buy an apple. And if I can sell it for more money, I can sell it for more money. And if I need a license to do that, and we got all the licenses that you need to do this business. But we got the taxicab commission, the district government, is trying to take this, all of this away from us and say, you will work for the corporations. So it's no mystery. It's no mystery, man. It's all out here and it's all looking at us, you know. So that's basically all I can say about this thing here. We're just being, but our rights are just being violated. And it's time that it stopped.
John Bug, can you talk about the significance of this industry? It was one of the first to allow African Americans a toehold into the middle class. And now you're seeing, as you say, a real push to put it in the hands of a select few corporations. But the significance of the history of the taxicab industry.
Yeah, well, see, I was out right across the street. I was born and raised in the house right across the street here. And this taxicab thing that we do, my uncle did it. My cousins did it. Just about all of the neighbors, you know, that was here that bought houses. And one time, even going up 16th Street, up around Blagdon Avenue, all up in there, near Carter Byrne, if you saw a minority up in that neighborhood, he had a cab sitting out front of his house. And this is how, you know, they sent their kids to college. They sent their kids to private schools. You know, the whole thing, you know. And we, you know, it was just a way of life for us because nobody would hire us in a meaningful job where we could get paid, you know, and live a lifestyle that that we live now. But at this point, I'd say that we've come a long way, man. I mean, my boy, he graduated from Maryland University in business administration. There's no way in the world he could have done that if I hadn't had my cab. You know, my wife worked, true enough. Well, she's retired now, but she worked. But you couldn't, you know, with her salary and my salary, we couldn't do nothing, man. But when I got hooked up with the cab, which is a profit and loss business, that's how I got into this fight, because you had your bills, you had everything set up. Then one day, the big timers come in here with all the money and say, look, it's time for us to take this thing now, you know. So what they did was they kept the cab fare low. So we all, especially these guys that were, some of the guys got to be lawyers, man. Lawyers, doctors, you know, I mean, with the taxi cab, you know. Professional people like government workers and they all had taxi cabs just about, and this is how we have survived in this city here. And I was talking to boy the other day, and he was telling me, and I knew it all the time, this taxi industry in D.C. is original a thing that was started by black people. And at this time, you know, they're pushing all American, not only just minorities now, they're pushing the white drivers, they're pushing them around too. And everybody that's American, they want the foreign guys to come in here because they can control them, you know. So we got our work cut out for us, man. We got our work cut out for us.
Are we over at 15th and U here at the gas station at 15th and U?
Huh?
We're at 15th and U Streets. You grew up, is that right?
Yeah, no. It was a little street right over there called Putner Place. And if you look over it, you can't see it from here, but over under that side of that building right there, it's a big sign in the yard right now saying Portner Place. And I was born 2029 Portner Place, Northwest. You know, which the street ran from U Street to V Street, you know, in between these two blocks, you know. But this is home for me, man. And I hope they understand if it come to it, this is going to be the last stand, because I ain't going no place. I'm going to hang in this thing till I can't do it no more.
Thanks for your time, John Bug. Any final thoughts you want to share? Otherwise, just thank you.
Yeah, well, I think I've said it all, but I would like for the taxi drivers to understand the biggest enemy that we have in this industry here is the taxi cab companies. You know, that we give, well, we don't have to give the money to them because we've turned inward and started this company here, Washingtonian Cab Company. And we are saying to anybody, if you're being mistreated by any of those cab companies out there, give us a ring over at Washingtonian Cab Company, 202-526-5655. And we will be glad to welcome you as one of the brothers or sisters that want to get out of this mess that we're in.
That does bring up one more question, which is, how was Washingtonian Cab Company founded?
Capital Cab, it came out of Capital Cab. Capital Cab, you know, the money disappeared, and here we are trying all we know how to keep the guys together, because we've been together in Capital Cab. I started in 1960.
And Capital Cab, can you explain the significance of it? It served African American. African Americans could get a ride in Capital Cab, whereas the other companies at that time were not necessarily allowing blacks to ride.
Right. Yellow Cab and Diamond Cab, especially. They would not, my mother and I stood down in front of the old Heck Company right there at 7th and G, 7th and F. And we stood there in the rain, and the yellow cabs used to come up through there, Diamond cabs used to come up through there, and they would not pick us up. So we had to wait for one of the drivers that was with the companies like Diplomat, Capital, one of the companies that were not white companies. And that's the only way we could get a ride in a taxi cab, you know. And you know, it just got to the place where the racism was so bad, we didn't have a taxi service for ourselves. So by us having the drivers, the black drivers in this town, putting together their thing, which they started in the first place. When we got, they started to come in and servicing the black community. That's how I got to be a taxi, a capital cab driver. Now, when the money started, they built it up. It was $1 million organization, the biggest company in the world, not just Washington, D.C. Once the money got big, the money disappeared, and we went into bankruptcy. And like I told the guys, man, we've been together all these years. Some of the guys I've been knowing for 40 years that was driving. And I told them, I said, well, look, why don't we just go on and draw the wagons up around ourselves and form a company? Some of the guys was afraid of that. But like I told them, let's move it. So we did it. And this is where Washingtonian came from. And we're doing a little struggling right now because we've been in business now going on 6 years. But this is how this company here got started. It started out of Capital Cab. That's why you got the Capital Dome on the side of the car, and they tried all they know how with the law and everything else to keep us from putting this dome on the side of the car. We had to go to the attorney, and he said, you can take that dome and put it on anything you want.
They thought they had patented the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah. yeah, that's
audacious.
I swear, man. And like when we had the little hearing, the attorney we had told him, you know, how are you going to stop these guys from putting a capital on the side of the car? They didn't call it capital. When I see the dome on trash trucks, I see the dome on all kinds. And, you know, they had to let us, the taxi cab commission had to let us put the dome on the side of the car. You know, I mean, these people that's in this industry here, they are some cold-blooded people, man. Anytime you put this meter in this car and start this thing off at $3, we with the zone system, we was $6.50. When you sit down in a cab now, this thing say $3. When a person sit down in a cab in Washington, D.C. this day and time, the cab driver just lost automatically $3.50. And it gets progressively worse as you go. I mean, you know, this thing right here, it only trips a quarter at the time. You know? So, you know, I got a feeling that Mayor Gray gonna turn this thing around. We've talked to him, you know, when he was campaigning, and I think he was at one of the campaign hearings.
Rallies.
Yeah, that he had that. We had access to him at that particular time. So, you know, we just been moving on. But it's been 3 years, man. We haven't made no money in 3 years.
You referred to Capital. I think you said the biggest company in the world. Were you saying the biggest cab company in the world?
Yeah. The biggest cab company in the world. See, in D.C., we didn't have a set number of cabs that a company could have. And the guys were determined that they weren't going to get involved with Yellow or Diamond, and the company was determined they weren't going to let none of us drive one of those cabs, you know. Even though you see, you know, our people have went and saved both of those companies. But, we at this time, you know, these guys, you know, I mean, like I say, we go back to struggling. And we've been struggling in this thing for, Lord have mercy, man. Ever since I can remember getting into a taxi cab to do some business, it's been a struggle. And it's always been that element there to try and take this away from us, even before Mayor Washington, you know, and every mayor after that, even Marion Barry. Now, you know, tried to turn us around and take this thing away from us. So that's basically what has happened in this thing here. Oh, this is the office.
Hold it.
Hello?
Off John's car? I'm talking to this reporter over here right now on 15th and U. And look here, I'll get back to you. The hack inspector just Washingtonian number 20. The hack inspector stopped him and scraped his inspection sticker off of his car. Now, John just went through inspection. So now how are you going to scratch? See, somebody's going to get hurt or killed out here in the street. I'm going to tell you, man, because this thing has gotten to the place where, you know, I'm just not going to let you take advantage of me. Just plain and simple as that. You know, like I told John, he said he going downtown, but the man, the hack inspector, got inside his car and scraped. I said, you know, I'm saying to myself, now that ain't the John May that I know, you know, because it would have been a little different, you know, if they had a call herself getting inside this man's car. But they did it. And this and John just called and said that this thing happened about a half an hour ago. So you can see what we up against, man.
Seems an appropriate place to end the conversation where we started it with the hack inspectors.
Hack inspectors, yeah.
Thanks, John Bug.